Good evening and welcome to another edition of Behind the Mask. I'm your host, Ed English, and tonight we are featuring my new co-host. He's been on the show before, typically when we talk about movies, but he is a fellow comic book fan, Chad O'Rourke. Welcome, Chad.
Hey, how's it going, Ed?
Doing well. So the big news now, I guess it's big, it might be big for those who aren't comic book fans, is the impending death of Wolverine. Now, Wolverine certainly is not going to be the first comic book character to be killed off, and certainly probably will not be the last. But, you know, it seems like killing a character is the norm when a comic book title is trying to bump its numbers. That's my theory that I'm putting out at the beginning of the show, that all character deaths are designed to increase sales. And I don't have any, you know, hard and fast evidence that says, you know, when this character died, this is what happened with sales, but that's my theory.
I think that's a pretty solid theory.
Now, the thing is, in the movie The Wolverine, not to be confused with X-Men Origins Wolverine, but in The Wolverine, there was an attempt to, quote-unquote, take his powers. And a lot of people don't necessarily know what all of Wolverine's powers are. Really, his only superpower, in my opinion, is his healing factor. Now, he's got, you know, he was born with claws, and, you know, you could say his feral rage, is, you know, his berserker rage is a power. But really, what makes Wolverine Wolverine is the fact that he can heal, and heal very quickly. You know, that's why he was chosen to begin with by Colonel Stryker, to have his skeleton modified with adamantium, was because he's probably the only character that could let that happen and survive it and heal from it and still be alive. So that healing factor is his really only superpower, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't think you really call superpowers the healing, the hearing, and the smelling abilities. I think they tried to pull that a little superpower-ish, but I don't think that really qualifies. I'm with you. I think his healing is the only thing he really qualifies.
Well, you know, and technically speaking, I don't know. You could call it, you know, because he is a mutant. You know, he's mutated to develop the claws and the heightened senses. And the healing. So, for lack of a better, you know, I mean, when it comes to mutants, mutations are varied and wide across the spectrum. You know, when you talk about superpowers, you know, they're pretty much, you know, categorized like flight, invulnerability, super strength, you know,
sure,
that kind of stuff. But you know, if you were going to put Wolverine into those categories, his healing factor basically makes him immortal. I mean, that's why in, you know, X-Men First Class, you know, we see that he's still young when Magneto and Professor X are trying to put the group together. And then later on the timeline in the original X-Men trilogy, you know, he's basically the same age. So, you know, that healing factor is what keeps him young. So in The Wolverine, when they zapped his healing factor, I don't know, you know, they used that little nano technology, whatever, to tap into his nervous system or whatever to put the kibosh on his healing factor. And once he had that yanked out, you know, then he was back to, you know, good as new. But the way I understand it now, Chad, I know you've read a couple of the issues. I've got, issue one. I have yet to read it, and he's not dead yet, is my understanding. He's not actually going to die until next month.
It's a four-issue miniseries. I picked it up. Plenty of number ones and twos on the shelf, so that lends its the theory that, you know, trying to bump some numbers, either that or people just ordered them like mad.
That could be a whole nother show. I mean, this was true back in the 90s. Variant covers are becoming overdone, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't want to get on that subject. We could talk about that for hours, but I agree with you.
I know that Wolverine, you know, Death of Wolverine issue one had like 10 different variants. So go ahead and tell us about what you've seen so far.
So it's a very noticeable change. First of all, they went with an extremely glossy chromium style cover for both issues one and two. It looks very attractive. A four issue miniseries, I think it's going to come out right. But the I did notice that they bumped the cover price a dollar, so we're at $5 instead of $3 or $4 like normal. And then there's no newsstand edition, so your only choice is the expensive chromium covers. And now they look gorgeous. And I'm looking at one right now. It's very well done. The art is amazing, as usual. But I'm not sure I like where they're going with the storyline. I don't know why. You know, it starts off very early. It says, "Hey, you've lost your powers." He's talking to Reed Richards, and after he's obviously talked to several other big scientist types like Beast and I forget who else they reference, but he's basically like, "Look, Reed, you're my last hope. What? Tell me the deal." And it's, you know, "Hey, you've lost your healing factor. And so hole up somewhere until I figure this out." That's the storyline they're going with. And instead, Wolverine, being Wolverine, of course, chooses, "Nah, I'd rather just go on a massive rampage." I don't know.
Right.
I like that story direction. He clearly has a death wish, and I don't know if I would base a four-issue miniseries around the fact that, "Hey, I want to die. I want to die fighting." But I guess that's his character. But that seems to be the direction they're going. But the art is amazing. I don't know if you have a chance to look at it. It looks really good. Colors came out great. And the quality of the book is amazing.
I happened to pick up the Alex Ross cover, which is the reason I got that particular book.
Ross. I haven't seen that one.
But no, I haven't had a chance yet to flip through the book yet to see exactly what's going on. But, you know, for people who aren't familiar with you know, comic books, you know, this isn't, like I said before, this isn't the first time that, you know, a character's died. I remember, you know, the whole Death of Superman, you know, saga. That was a crossover of, you know, probably what, two or three different titles initially, which branched into an additional three or four titles with the return of the substitute Superman. And that was back in 92, as I recall. But, you know, I don't know. I guess this is just... to me, it's kind of overdone, is that, you know, if we want to increase sales, we have to do something spectacular. You know, Peter Parker has to get married, or, you know, Scott Summers and Jean Grey finally have to get married, or somebody has a baby, or, you know, first appearance of, you know, oh, Cable is a, you know, grandchild of Scott Summers come back from the future, and, you know, and then, of course,
I think,
you know,
I think that's maybe a symptom of the industry as a whole, though, is you're dealing with people that are only collecting physical issues anymore for physical reasons, right? So I'll be honest with you, I haven't read a Wolverine or X-Men book in probably 10 or 15 years, but Death of Wolverine made
me
pick
too.
It up. So, that's clearly working, but an industry as a whole is moving, I feel like, is maybe shifting a little towards the digital realm. And,
right.
You know, to get me in the shop, you know, I only pick up 3 books a month anymore. And the only reason I'm, you know, the cover catches my eye on the shelf, hey, I picked that thing up. It's working.
Well, you know, I know recently, you know, aside from the death of Superman, you know, which ultimately, you know, in my opinion, you know, superheroes don't stay dead. At least they don't stay dead forever. With Superman, it was almost biblical. He was buried, and they were very Jesus Christ archetypes in the whole. He was only gone for a few days, kind of a thing. When he came back, but other characters. I mean, recently, Archie of all people died.
I remember hearing about that. I didn't write it.
And he's helping people from the afterlife, and he hasn't made his triumphant return yet, but I expect that he will. I mean, Peter Parker died in 2012, and in 2014, Peter Parker was back. Jean Grey, I mentioned her a second ago. She's died multiple times in the whole X-Men series.
That fits with her character, though. She's the Phoenix. She can die and come back
true,
as many times as she wants. There's one of the few characters that can honestly pull that off.
But, Nightcrawler died. He was gone for a couple years. Kitty Pryde, she was dead for a little bit. Those are just X-Men characters. I mean, I don't know that, DC more so with, the death of Supergirl in the Crisis on Infinite Earths series, Green Lantern, some of that stuff. They've done it, in my opinion, less as far as killing off characters than Marvel has, I think.
I think they not only do it less, I think they do it more respectfully and better. I mean, I take for example, your Death of Superman storyline. That was an epic saga. It made news at the time. I remember that 10 o'clock news. It was Death of Superman. I went out and picked it up. That was a great read, great story. Well done. I thought, the comeback, not so much in my opinion, but I thought it was very well done. It was the first time death of a character really caught my attention.
Well, I think that may be the reason that Death of Superman was so newsworthy was because, that was really the first time DC ever really killed off a character that appeared to be, for good. Well, that's true. But
you're right.
Even then, he didn't stay dead.
You're right, though. They built up Death of Superman like we're done with the book. They really did. The hype around it was like, look, he's not coming back. And I guess the numbers were so good on the book. They did, and they did it times four, and it was a little ridiculous, but the story and the hype around it, it really did feel like they weren't going to bring him back to me. I was a young kid at the time, maybe, middle school or something.
92.
But that's what it felt like to me.
Well, and it seems like, the more characters die, the more we come to the conclusion that he's not going to stay dead forever. I mean, other than, you and I talked before the show, other than Uncle Ben, who his death is, pivotal to the whole Spider-Man canon, he's the only character who's really stayed dead, simply because I think he had to be dead for Peter Parker.
I think his best case scenario is he gets half an issue.
But, the more we see characters die, the more we believe, this is a marketing ploy, this is not, this is for, they're trying to generate sales. We're becoming, I think, jaded when this stuff happens to think that, because like you said, when the death of Superman came, it was marketed as if we're really killing off Superman from 1937 to 1992, or, whatever year he started. I think Batman was 37, but anyway, we've run our course. There's only so many Superman stories we can do. This is the end.
Well, was that long ago?
Oh,
it doesn't feel
like pull back the curtain, and we're going to have this storyline with some alternate Superman for a little bit to carry us over, and then we're going to bring him back. They knew they were bringing him back. Nobody else did. but it seems like we, the readers, you know, become jaded when this happens to be like, psh, he'll be dead for a week, you know, next month he'll be back. I don't think it's that soon. I mean, because, Kitty Pryde was out for 2 years, Nightcrawler was out for five, you know, Jean Grey was a few.
Well, here's hoping they use Deadpool to somehow solve the death of Wolverine, because his numbers seem to be through the roof lately.
But yeah, I mean, Deadpool as a character is, you know, he is now what, you know, the X-Men were then, back in the late 80s, early 90s, before, you know, the market dropped out in, I think it was 96-ish, you know, but really, you know, Batman, I was reading the story, that Batman's been running the numbers for the last couple of years as far as average sales. He's been in the top five for at least the past year.
They've got great stories. They've got great stories and great artists over there, and they're just killing it.
And I agree. I mean, I think he's on top for a reason, you know. But, you know, back in the early 90s, the X-Men were in that spot. And to an extent, even Spider-Man, I think. But, you know, in 96, Marvel filed for bankruptcy. And, you know, really the whole comic book industry took a big hit. I know that's when I came to the conclusion that I can't, you know, couldn't keep buying, you know, three variant covers of, bagged with a bonus item of every comic that I wanted to read anymore. But, you know, from that point, Marvel really lost, you know, their foothold, you know. And I think with, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy is kind of, their step back into to try to find that property, because when they released Rocket Raccoon, his solo series, he bumped Batman out of the top spot. But when he had the top, I mean, X-Men was in, you know, 26th place according to sales numbers. So, you know, their dominance, you know, the X-Men dominance has really, you know, failed to. You know, it's kind of like, you know, in TV series, you know, they'll only let a show go on for so long if it's not, you know, bringing in some numbers. But I think Marvel, you know, made that, you know, they're like, we need to do something with our mutants, because, you know, our sales numbers are in the toilet. And so, you know, I don't know who concocted the you know, the story, who came up with it, whose idea it was, who supported it, but, you know, I do think that, you know, and the way that they're doing it is really the only way that they could do it. I mean, the only way that anybody would believe that you can kill Wolverine is to take away his healing ability.
That's another thing I noticed, is they don't really explain why. Or I mean, maybe I've been out of the loop, right? Like I said, I haven't read a Wolverine or an X-Men book. But why does he have a death wish, and why is his power gone? I don't know. Maybe that's in the Marvel book somewhere. But like you were saying earlier, I think maybe their books are a little harder. There's no real clear jumping in point, and I'm not really sure why. I go in and I look at Spider-Man number 23. And I, you know, just randomly jump in, and I see, oh, look, J. Jonah Jameson is president of the United States, and we have a Hispanic Spider-Man. And I'm like, wait a minute, where did I miss? Where's my jumping in point? Let's, you know. And they started doing those 1.3s and 1.4s or whatever to kind of fill in the gaps, and they just don't do it for me. I've tried. I have really made an effort, especially since Marvel Cinematic Universe has kind of owned the box office. I was like, you know, maybe go back and take a look. The only one I found a way in was Spider-Man. A Superior Spider-Man, I jumped in with that. Amazing Spider-Man 700, I jumped in. And wrote out Superior, and now it's a good book. I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot. But there's no clear jumping in point on any of the books. Try and read an X-Men book. Go tell me where a good starting point for any reader on a shelf is.
I think unless you catch a book when they're changing writers, you know, when a story arc is done and a new writer's taking over,
sure.
I think unless you can find that, you're right, that it's hard to pick up a book that you haven't been reading month in and month out and say, I enjoyed this story, I understood what it was, you know, I didn't need to know what happened last month for me to enjoy this story.
Right.
You know, but, in the same way, I mean, comic books are serialized, just the way, you know, television shows are. It's hard to, you know, to turn on and watch, you know, an episode of whatever, Once Upon a Time, Revenge, or, you know, any of those, you know, anything that's serialized like that. Yeah, you can enjoy it for a moment, and you might say, yes, I identified with a character. But then, you know, when that happens, you know, I've got to go watch this from the beginning. And with TV, that's a whole heck of a lot easier to do than with comic books. And it's free, for the most part. I mean, you might pay for Netflix or Hulu or something, but, you know, you don't have to go purchase multiple issues, even, you know, physical or digital. You're still looking at unless you catch a sale or something like that, you're looking at a potential substantial monetary outlay just to get to find out, to fill in those blanks.
Sure. And I 100% agree. But, you know, I mean, go back a couple of years ago, when DC gave me clear jumping in points, they rebooted their entire universe. And then Marvel
did
it.
Too.
Marvel was right behind it, right? They rebooted everything. And then, I don't know about you, but I still couldn't find a way in. I was looking for one. I really was. I was like, I kind of want to get in here and, you know, jump back into my Spider-Man books that I used to read as a kid. But there was no clear avenue for all new X-Men, number one, and then the new X-Men. And then, you know, it's like, all right, look, I know we had 5X forces, factors, all this stuff in the 90s, but you've got to give me an in. You've got to give me start here somewhere. And I didn't get it. And I'm worried that most people that are reading the comic books nowadays, aside from mine or your daughter maybe, are probably us guys that are 30 to 50 years old and looking to relive some of the old days. And if we can't find it, we're just going to go buy something else, really. And that worries me that the market maybe not keep it around, but the movies will keep Marvel afloat pretty good.
Well, that's for sure. The cinematic universe is definitely a hot property for Marvel. And, you know, with Guardians of the Galaxy being the top grossing film of the year and, you know,
so
the success they've had with. Oh, you know, it's funny because, you know, I had my hopes up for Guardians and I never read any of the Guardians comics with this set. I read the stuff from back in, like, the late 70s, early 80s were the Guardians that I read. And but still, you know, if it's a comic book movie, I'm in line. I'm going to see it.
Same.
And, you know, my
even
wife, she happened to be out of town at the time when I went to see it for the first time, and she had no interest in seeing it. You know, for her, it was going to be, you know, if I'm home and he's going to go see it, then I'll go see it. But, you know, really, a raccoon in a talking tree that only says three words, really, I'm not interested. But, you know, after I watched it and, you know, my initial Facebook post was, you know, you need to go camp out at your local theater right now so that you can see Guardians of the Galaxy at the next available moment. It's that good, in my opinion. She actually went and saw it with some friends. She went and saw it again with some other friends before I even got to see it twice. So, I mean, it really changed her opinion of the movie. But, you know, I don't think that the movies, as great as they are going to generate, you know, I don't think they're going to, you know, translate into comic book sales as much as they'd like, which is why there's, you know, Rocket Raccoon is like the most popular character ever right now with you know, merchandising and whatnot. And since Marvel doesn't own X-Men or Spider-Man, you know, they're not going to put, you know, monetarily, you know, and by all means, they don't want to not sell X-Men comic books. So they want the X-Men movie to succeed, even if it's not their property. But they're going to put their money where they control it, you know, versus where they don't.
See, and you went into Guardians with more information than I had. I had literally had no knowledge or forethought of Guardians at all. And, man, I'll tell you what, I was blown away. We saw
all you knew it was a Marvel
3D.
Property that starred a guy from Parks and Rec and a former wrestler.
I didn't even know that. I didn't watch Parks and Rec. I didn't know I still don't know who Batista is, other than he's a big dude. So I literally went into a movie no more blind than that, with blind faith of, well, it's a Marvel movie. I didn't see it on opening weekend. I waited an extra week, which is not typical for me in Marvel movies or DC movies. Took my wife and kid. Was blown away. Blown away. Miles was just amazing. And they're all great characters. They all came out really great, and that was a fun movie. I liked that we're tying into Thanos and everything else that's coming down the pipe. It's great. I love what they've done. It's a master stroke, tying everything together.
Because it's a great story. I mean, the story is great. You know, it's a comic book movie for people who don't read comic books. I mean,
if that
everybody
case,
else, when it comes
it off,
to Wolverine or anything else, you know, people are going to be like, well, you know, that's not how it was in the comic book, or, you know, I really wish that, you know, Bane, you know, whatever. I mean, people are going to nitpick. I know you did, you know, on movies. But this is one of those movies where you can just say, you know, I sat back, I thoroughly enjoyed myself, and I would have seen this even if it wasn't a comic book movie because it's that good.
I want to point this out that I saw it twice, once in 3D and once in not. It was IMAX 3D. The 3D was so well done. So well done. I've never seen a movie that took advantage of 3D like that one did. It was just crazy awesome. And then when we saw it in 2D, it was kind of like, eh, you know, I know it's supposed to be 3D, but, you know, but the 3D was really effective in that movie. I was really impressed.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure what. I think we've got maybe one or two comic-related titles coming the rest of the year. Nothing in the superhero genre that I can recall off the top of my head. But definitely, I'm looking forward to reading and picking up the rest of the series for Death of Wolverine, if only to see, you know, how they did it. But, you know, in a year or whatever, if they reboot something or whatever, I won't be surprised if Wolverine shows back up. You know, it was the guy who created Wolverine was Len Wein. He was a big guy at Marvel and DC both back through the years. You know, I'll end the show with this quote from him. No one in comics is ever really dead unless you can see the body. And usually, not even then.
That's great.
So I think that's true. I think it, you know, it just remains to be seen. I am interested in reading the story, and of course, you know, the artwork is always a treat as well. So, you know, we've managed to talk for another half an hour about comic books and comic stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody. Chad, thanks for joining me. And
absolutely.
We'll see you again next week on Behind the Mask. Good night, everybody.